All right. So, like Raph said, knowing God's will. So we had a choice. My voice is like really loud. I forget sometimes. We had a meeting about the different topics and things like that, and you know, have the choice to choose what topic. And I saw knowing God's will, and I was like, oh, I'm really interested about that topic. I think, you know, I like to do that. And as of today, I'm like, I don't know if I should have done that, you know? So I really hope and pray that you guys have your Bibles, because our Bibles are important. So if you guys could turn to Romans 12. And as you guys turn there, I just really want to say, I remember when I was in Bible college, I took this class, and it was about the book of Hebrews. And the teacher always said, and it really struck me, and it was so simple, but it really struck me. He said, don't just assume what I tell you is the truth. Don't just believe me. And I was like, oh, like really? And he's like, look for the scriptures yourself. Believe what the word of God says. And so I want to try my best to make sure that as we talk about this topic, knowing God's will, that we have biblical reference and not just merely my opinion. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you, God, so much for this evening. Lord, we do ask that you would just speak to us, God, tonight. Lord, we thank you so much that in the midst of uncertainty, Lord, you are certain, Father. So we do pray that you speak to us, God, tonight, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, so Romans 12. And before we start, I just want to ask you guys, how many of you guys struggle with the question, what is God's will for my life? Yeah, you didn't have to raise hands. I just wanted to say, how many people struggle with that? I mean, okay, so I remember several points in my life that I'll be really struggling with that. Just stuck in my head, what is God's will? You know? But maybe for specific circumstances in my life. But what is God's will from what the Word of God says is completely different. So, thankfully, we have the Word of God, which through His Holy Spirit reveals to us His will. So, I'm a very visual guy. So, I have a couple slides to help you guys be visualized and things like that. So hopefully this works. Boom. So if you guys are listening to the audio, we have this pastor named Greg Laurie, famous pastor in California. Yeah. In California, and he says, obedience to the revealed truth of God guarantees guidance in matters unrevealed. I'll say that one more time. Obedience to the revealed truth of God guarantees guidance in matters unrevealed. What is the revealed truth? God's word. So we have it right here. So Romans 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in the view of God's mercy. And I just want to pause right there. When it says, I urge you, brothers. Oh, next slide. I'm sorry. Yeah. Therefore, by the way, I'm teaching out of the NIV. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy. When he says, I urge you, brothers, it's another word of saying, I urge you, is I beg of you. You know, I beg of you. And it's crazy to see that Paul genuinely cares for the people. And when you care for someone that much, and you want to let them know something that's very important, you would, look, listen to me. I beg of you, listen to me. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, can I just say, we realize how merciful God is, even to us personally. Our view on things will start to change in view of God's mercy. Just thinking about it right now. In view of God's mercy, so we have a specific viewpoint right now, right? And we get to the Word of God, And we think certain times we have to think, oh, I have to make sure I'm doing this. I'm waking up early in the morning to seek him because I'm going through this in my life. And so maybe if I do this, the outcome will be this. In view of God's mercy, just by the mercy of God, that we can just dig in and have a relationship with him. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. So let's look at this. Offer your bodies. J. Vernon McGee, which I'm going to quote a lot from him, the body is an instrument through which we express ourselves, our personalities, our mind, our affections, even our will. We need to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. And what does the word sacrifice mean? According to Webster's dictionary, an act of offering to a deity or something precious, especially the killing of a victim on an altar. Something of which is offered, and then destruction or surrender of something for the sake of something else. So here we have Paul encouraging the people to live as a literal sacrifice. Paul, when he was in chains, he knew what that literally looked like. So if you guys could turn, keep your finger in Romans. If you could turn to Philippians chapter 1. And just in case if you guys don't have your Bibles, I have it on the screen as well. But chapter 1, starting from verse 20. I eagerly accept and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. And then 21, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. God desires for us to literally sacrifice ourselves, our life to God, and Paul knew what that meant. So when he's encouraging these guys, he knows. Afterwards, the verse says, holy and pleasing to God. And everyone knows what the word holy means, right? Maybe you don't, and so I'm going to go through it with you guys. In Bible college, there was always big emphasis on the word holy. And the Hebrew word for holy is the word kodesh, which means apartness, to be set apart, separateness. When you look at it like that, with those words, to be set apart, it really helps us understand verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. And every one of us is in one or two categories. One, either we're conformers, which is someone aims to be similar or to be as something / someone, to obey and agree with something, or to do what other people do. And listen to this, to behave in a way that is accepted by most people. And I have an example. When I was growing up and I was going to school here, which wasn't necessarily the most easy thing in the world, coming from the United States, not knowing any Spanish and things like that. I was going to the Spanish school. I didn't know any Spanish, and I started to learn because I really wanted to communicate with the people. And you guys, if you guys know me well, I like to communicate, I like to speak, and I just tried my best to learn it. And then I went to the high school, and all of a sudden, I hear English speakers. I was like, oh, like I this people that speak my language, you know, and it made me quite excited. So I wanted to get to know them, you know. And as I became friends with them and things like that, now looking back, obviously not during, but as I was with them, I started to see that I was following what they did, you know, how they thought. And it was really awkward because the main reason why I'm here is because of the calling of my parents wanting to be here as missionaries. So I was just turning 12, and so when people ask me, why you leave from the States to come to Spain? I can't lie. The only reason is because God wanted us to come here. We're helping out a church and things like that. And they're like, oh, church. I'm like, oh, yeah. You know, so what I'm trying to say is that I was really influenced, you know. I didn't want to say how I was a Christian. I didn't know what I actually believed in. And I started to see that I started to submit myself to their example of the world, you know. So the second one, so you have conformers, and then the second one is that you have transformers, which literally means to change. And then next slide. J. Vernon McGee really challenged me when I read this. So follow along with me. The child of God ought to be genuine and real. Being a Christian, it's very easy to play a role, and that itself is what the word hypocrite really means. Hypocrites is the Greek word for actors, and what an actor does is playing a role or part. Hypocrite means to answer back, and acting, it means to get your cue to say the right thing at the right time. In our daily lives, hypocrisy is to seem to be something that we are not. I have learned over the years that some folks who flatter you to your face, smile and pat you on the back, can be your worst enemies. They are dangerous to be with. It was Shakespeare who said something about the world being on a stage, and that every man must play a part. This is not true for the believer. He must be genuine and real because the Holy Spirit is working from within, transforming his life by renewing the mind. Which leads us to the next part of verse 2. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What does the word renew mean? I'm sure you guys know, but just to break it down with you guys. To make something new, or fresh, or strong again. To begin something again, especially with more force or enthusiasm. To make extensive, large amounts of changes. Now, having that in mind, I have a question. How does a believer renew their minds? Now, I'm asking this question because this is really important for us to have in mind when we're searching and we're questioning about God's will. How does a believer renew their minds? I believe with all my heart that it is by getting into the Word, this itself, spending quality and sincere time in the Word of God. You know, and how many times has... Man, I remember when we did evangelism, I think it was last year, and we have a group that comes from Germany. They're called Gospel Tribe, and, you know, we go out and we just randomly ask people, oh, do you need prayer for anything? Or just to talk to them. Sometimes it's really awkward, sometimes it's really not. And there was this group of people just sitting on this bench, and they just, because I have big hair, they wanted to touch my hair. You know, I'm like, oh, can we take a picture? Touch your hair. And I was like, oh, let me ask you a question, and then you can touch my hair. And they're like, oh, okay, what's the question? And I asked them, so what is your view on God and the Bible? All of them were like, whoa, we're in Magaluf, we're on holiday. Like, what is that question doing right here, you know? And I was like, well, I mean, if you want an Instagram photo with me, hashtag Afro, hashtag this was yesterday or whatever, well, answer this question. And they were like, oh. And then one guy was really interested. He was like, oh, yeah, I'm a Catholic. And, you know, but I'm a Catholic and the Pope stresses me out. I don't understand this and that. And then, you know, the conversation was just going. And one girl, tears in her eyes, you know, after we're talking like 15, 20 minutes. She said to me, and she looked at me right in the eyes, and she says, "You know, I searched and I looked for God, and nothing happened. Nothing happened. And here I am today." And she started crying. With me, I didn't know what to say. I was like, what do I say? And then, as I was just thinking, I asked her, "How do you know that you were not assuming to hear God's voice a certain way and he was actually speaking to you in a different way the whole time?" Her face is dropped. You know? And the thing is that we, as finite people, don't realize that we serve an infinite God. And we assume certain ways of how God can speak to us or how he will speak to us. But the thing is, it's like, man, how much are we waiting on him? Yeah. Lost now. Look at Jesus. When he was praying before he got arrested, before he went to go on the cross. John 17. Let's turn there. John 17, verse 17 says, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." He says, man, Jesus was praying to sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And one of the most important things that drove me to want to know Jesus more, I wanted to know God more. I wanted to know the truth for myself. You know, that had to become a time in my life where, yes, I respect my parents. I love my parents and what they believe in. But what do I believe for myself? Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Let's look at another verse. Matthew 4. Let's turn there. Matthew 4, starting from verse 1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. You know, when I was studying, I was like, man, I would be so hungry too. 40 days and 40 nights, that's crazy. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Man, Jesus knew how important his word is. How important the word of God is. Even when he was tempted, the word of God was still coming out of his heart. Next slide. John Corson, solid guy, Calvary Chapel pastor in Oregon. He mentioned this in one of his commentaries. You can read the Bible every morning for devotions. You can study it every Wednesday night at home group or service. You can know the word backward and forward and not go through the metamorphosis. Now, what does the word metamorphosis mean? A change in appearance or character. A striking alteration. I like that. A striking alteration. We need to allow the word of God to change / transform us. Let it have that striking alteration in our lives. And can I just say, it's by his Spirit, not by what we do. It's not by our own efforts, you know. We can't say, oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go to home group. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to make sure I bring my Bible. So therefore, it's going to be good. No, it's not by our efforts. And on that, let's turn to Titus. from Titus chapter 3. Starting from verse 5, says, "He saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life." So it's not by our own efforts, it's by his Spirit. By permitting the Spirit of God to renew the mind, the believer will be able to test the will of God and find it good. A question that I constantly have to ask myself every day: do I trust him? Do I trust him? That the fact, literally every single situation in my life is in the Lord's hands. Do I genuinely trust him? I just want to give an example really quick. And, you know, after I graduated from Bible college, and Raf can tell you, I really, really wanted to go to Germany. And, you know, I was reading my Bible, and I remember specifically I was reading through John, there's a certain church in Germany, and they said, "Look, Alex, we will drive from Germany to Barcelona, grab the ferry from Barcelona to Mallorca, pick up all of your instruments, pick up all of your things, apply you a job in Germany, and you can serve, you know, leading worship and helping out with the youth or whatever at the church." And one of the worship leaders, he was single at the time, and he said that you can room with me. And I was like, well, I guess that's a yes, you know. But me wanting to play Mr. Holy, oh, I'll pray about it, you know. Even though inside I'm like, yes, you know. Come back. And I said, "Hey, Raf." And he's like, "Where are you going?" You know, and every time I go somewhere, it always looks like I just want to stay. And I was reading through John, and I read the verse of when Jesus was walking on water. And I got something from, do you remember exactly? Something about how the disciples were afraid and thought that Jesus was a ghost. And then all of a sudden he was like, what did Jesus say? What did Jesus say to them? "Do not be afraid. I am here with you," you know? I was reading that, I took that verse, and I remember I was fasting specifically to get an answer, which is the wrong thing to do. I was fasting, I was, you know, avoiding myself from people. I was in my room, listening to worship, watching sermons, reading my Bible, and read this verse, and I was like, that's it. That's it. Like, I'm going to Germany. And, you know, I had a meeting with Raf and Jimmy at the time in this room. And that was really hard. That was really hard. And I told them, I was so excited, like, yeah, I got this verse. And you could just tell in Raf's face, he's like. And he said to me that I believe how you're reading things can be off. And automatically I was offended. I was like, I didn't express it, but in my heart I was like, oh, you just want me to stay, you know, all these things. And my mind was just so clouded by my own selfishness, you know. I just wanted to get out of here. And so the reason why I explain that is that it's very important that we not use the Word of God for our own selfish gain. Because if we do, we will find ourselves in a mess like I did. Next slide. Hanley C.G. Moll. He says this. I would not have the restless will that hurries to and fro, seeking for some great thing to do or secret thing to know. I would be treated as a child and guided where I go. I love that so much. It's like having that childlike faith to be able just to follow the Lord. Man, we can think things through. We can think practically. Oh, I have this amount of money. I have this job coming up. I have this coming. All these certain things. But man, that childlike faith, just be able to trust Jesus with our walks with him. So let's just read Romans 12, 1 through 2, one more time before I'm about to close. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Verse 2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then, and only then, you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Allow me to finish with this last verse. An example of submitting to God's revealed truth in his word. Let's turn to Micah 6. Micah in the Old Testament. Micah chapter 6. Starting from verse 6. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed you, O man, what is good. He has showed you. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Man. If you want to know what certain things that we need to do or that we're called to do, it's so easy for us to ask people, and it's so easy for us to Google it or to look through Facebook and things like that to see what people say. But we need to learn to discipline ourselves to take the Word of God into our hands and read it. To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. In the midst of questions, so many questions, and probably doubt as well, still Micah knew what the Lord requires of us. That is revealed truth from his word. The Lord Jesus Christ loves us and cares for us and desires for us to trust him, not just in some things, but in everything. And I just want to just close with this. I am want to let you guys know that I don't have the answer to God's will. And I am challenged every day to seek him. You know, last summer, I was in a little dilemma. I normally go lead worship at this youth camp, and normally it's for 1 week. And this last summer, it was 2 weeks. And I was like, oh. And normally, during this time, it is work time. And for those of you guys know, work time is normally from May until first week of October. And I felt, man, if I went to Germany, what if someone tried to call me for a job and I wasn't there? because I just wanted to go lead worship in Germany. I was freaking out. I went, and I wanted to. I was tempted to say, oh, God was telling me to go, but I wanted to go. I wanted to go, so I went. And when I was there, it was amazing, you know, seeing these kids just break down in tears and just wanting to know God more and things like that. And then I come back, literally freaking out, like, man, I need to work. I don't want to just sit at home or just, you know, things like that. Freaking out. I wake up and I get a text from Anwar. And he's like, hey, bro, can you come in today and wanting to see if you can work at Pirates Beach Bar? And I was like, wait, let me wash my face to make sure I'm awake. You know, like, wait, what? Yeah, okay, I'm coming right now. And, you know, when met the boss and things like that, and it's like, can you start tomorrow? And I was like, oh, yeah. And it's just crazy, just like, whoa, like, start working. And normally a trial, and out of trials I've had, is normally a week, you know, the longest. I had a two-week trial, you know, to make sure that I'm the right guy to be able to do this, if I can cope with it. And by God's grace, was able to, and I started working. In the midst of that, when I was in camp, I didn't know that was going to happen. And, you know, I could have said, God was telling me to go to Germany, you know? And then because of my obedience, I got that job. No, it was hard for me to say, but I said, I wanted to go. You know, I have to learn to not use the Lord's name for my own selfish gain. You say, oh, God's telling me this, God's telling me this, when it could be your own selfishness. So I just want to encourage you guys to not be afraid to say, I do not know. And I believe with all my heart that it's better to say that I do not know than to use God's name for our own selfish want or gain. And I believe with all my heart that in the midst of that, that God will bless us. I really do. So let's pray. Lord, thank you so much, God, for your revealed truth. And we do ask that as we seek you, not just on Sundays, Lord, not just on Wednesdays at home group, Lord, but every day, God, that we would live by your word and that we would treat it with just this preciousness, God, to our hearts, Lord, and that we would cling to every word, Lord, not being biased, Lord, but reading your word for what it says. We thank you so much, God, for your Holy Spirit guiding us and leading us, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.